You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Now, here's Miller and Condon.
Ken Miller. Trent Condon. Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO. And now on 106.3 FM.
All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome in. It's Miller and Condon on a Monday. Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM. Trent Condon, Ken Miller, we are with you until noon talking sports with you. On the BMW of Des Moines guest list for this Monday, Scott Dochterman from The Athletic published his mailbag. Boy, a lot of questions in Doc's mailbag. This one didn't need to solicit a lot of requests. If you have a question, you know, does that on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? I have a feeling this one filled up pretty quickly. Scott Dochterman will join us at 10:25. Mitch Holt is the voice of the Chiefs in his weekly spot, at least for, will this be the, no, we still got 2 weeks, right? It's 2 weeks from Thursday. So we'll have Mitch a couple more weeks daily before we get to the weekly schedule. The Chiefs had 2,000 fans watching practice at Arrowhead Stadium over the weekend. So we'll pick Mitch's brain on that, amongst other things. He'll join us at 10:50. Papa John's in Des Moines makes that possible. Scott Miller from Bleacher Report. He's their national baseball writer. He will join us at 11:20. He's based in San Diego. He does a lot of NL West, AL West, but he's really locked in when it comes to baseball. Scott Miller at 11:20. And then Pete Mundo from Heartland College Sports. We will do the Big 12 with Pete Mundo. Max Dugan, that story, I mean, good that they obviously found it.
Yeah.
Because that could have been down the road, or who knows at what time that thing would have flared up. But by the sounds of things, he's undergone the procedure that he needs to and plans on being back on the football field.
I guess one of the few positive things that COVID has brought about, because without that test, we wouldn't have known about that. You know, I brought that up last week. I don't remember who we were talking to. Maybe it was Bill Bender. I think that's who it was. And just asking, you know, he hasn't been practicing. And they don't have a whole lot of depth in that quarterback room. It's a walk on
this. They've got a decent long shot chance, right?
Yeah. We talked about kind of those middling long shots after Oklahoma, Texas, Oklahoma State. If you're looking in that range with, and even throw Iowa State out, that next group, they're probably the one that I would at least take a look at.
I would too.
Baylor, new staff. I like Charlie Brewer. What's Charlie Brewer going to play?
That's just it.
Right.
And how long is he going to play? Because concussions have been, sadly, a part of his college experience. So, yeah, and I would say it absolutely belongs on that next.
They're in that top tier.
Salty. Yeah, I agree.
Right. Oklahoma's their own tier.
You don't want to put Texas
no.
on? It's not their year?
Come on. It might be, but come on.
Yeah.
Oklahoma deserves the benefit of the doubt.
That's
because
true.
Of consistency. Yeah. They're alone.
I like the quarterback's name, Rattler.
Yeah, Spencer Rattler.
Yeah, that's fair. Probably Oklahoma deserves that. And then Texas, and then there's Oklahoma State. Iowa State's got a quarterback. They got a running game. They got tight ends. I think they got receivers.
Not sure, offensive line.
And the defense is salty. Anyways, so we'll talk to Pete Mundo on the Big 12. I look forward to doing that. There's a whole lot of sports to recap. I think we're getting some clarity on how Kevin Warren handled all of this. Is it Sam McCowan or McKeon McCowan at Omaha.com, the Omaha World Herald?
He wrote a really good piece.
It's a really good piece, an eye-opening piece. The athletic directors, they were meeting with the commissioner, but the commissioner was listening to about people above their pay grade.
Yeah, they
and
went
who
above
was
the
it, Trent? Who? Which of the presidents had his ear? Which of the presidents? Because it doesn't sound like all the presidents wanted to cancel.
Right, yeah. It certainly, that wasn't the case in Nebraska and Iowa.
No, we know
those are two presidents that were very much about playing football this year. Was there a name?
No, there wasn't. But somebody has to have enough power that they could get. Look, Kevin Warden didn't go rogue.
Right.
The athletic directors were not on the same call with the medical people. The athletic directors were not on the same call with the heads of the universities, albeit chancellors or presidents, whatever they called them, in that office. The chancellors and presidents weren't on the call with the athletic directors or with the medical people. These were all separate calls before the decision was made. Who of those presidents wields the power that ultimately his voice was the one that was heard? So it was regurgitated by Warren.
You know, I've been pretty optimistic in a lot of these things as they've been coming back, just in general. Now, I thought things were going to happen earlier. We go back to our Major League Baseball conversations in April and May, and I thought by the end of June, you kept pointing to that 4th of July weekend, and I was optimistic that was going to happen. I've been optimistic on the college sports side, and I still believe that the Big 12, ACC, and SEC are going to play and are going to pull this off successfully. Not that every game's going to go on. There's going to be cancellations, but I believe it is going to happen. But as it pertains to the Big 10, this winter sports season, I don't think it's going to happen. I don't see that happening. And with it, I still have major concerns that they're going to play college basketball. And of course, the biggest concern for Hawkeye fans is that men's team because of the expectations coming into the year. Where do you sit on the basketball and the winter football side of things? Do you see that being...
I think they're going to try in both counts.
You think they're going to try?
Absolutely.
That. So what's going to change? And that's the part
that
I...
Well, for basketball, I think it's going to be... The Big East is moving towards a bubble in the Big East. Remember, and as the story pointed out that I read, you know, you go back 6-8 weeks, whatever it was, well, if there's no kids on campus, there's no football. Well, we can play football if the kids aren't on campus. We
it's
can
actually
make
better
work
for them. They'll be safer.
We can't ask these kids to go into a bubble. They're amateurs. We can make it work if we put those kids into a bubble. It's only going to be for a few weeks. So... Look, it's the almighty dollar that's dictating where this is going to go. They're going to try. I mean, look what, when you broke this, well, you didn't broke this, you broke it here.
I did, yes. I had it first in the
morning. You had a really good source that when you came into work on Friday morning, don't ask me who because I won't tell you, but I've been told, and then you said you laid it out, you don't know what sports they were, but there's going to be sports canceled as early as today. If not today, at some point early next week. Well, as turned out, it was today, and it turns out whoever that source is, as I said at the end of the show, remember that for next time he or she reaches out to you. So it's the trickle down, Trent, and they have to at least give this a try. Now, there was a reporter making her way through Iowa City. Was it Gazette or Register or... at the bars in Iowa City.
I saw the picture.
Have you seen the pictures?
Yeah, out in front of Airliner.
There's a bunch of them.
I spent a lot of time in front of that bar.
she made her rounds to a number of the bars, and like a number of college campuses, Trent.
Every college campus.
Every single one of them, yes. Right?
There's outbreaks happening at Notre Dame. You would think a small private institution like that, if there is ever a time, but even if you get 80, 90, 95% of the student population that is going to, quote-unquote, do the right thing, do what is asked of them, there's always going to be the people that are going to go rogue. And when you're talking about a community that big, that's going to happen. For every person that says, you know what, I'm concerned about my parents. Dad has an underlying condition. Grandma and grandpa, whatever it is, there's going to be those people that look at themselves as invincible. Yeah. I was that person.
Absolutely. That's the age bracket it is invincible. Yeah.
18 to 22, it was a different time, a completely different time, at least for me. And I think a lot of people fall into that range. This is going to happen. This is what we're going to have to live with. And now it's a continued moving target. And we just have to be ready to be able to adjust along with it. And I think we're going to see that. I'm hopeful we're going to still see that with the three conferences still playing.
Well, Trent, I spent some time between games yesterday looking at the college football schedule and trying to map out my Saturdays.
You're already working on
that. Yeah, look, I can't wait, and fingers crossed we're gonna get there. Anyways, so we'll talk to Scott Dockerman about Kevin Warren, about McCowan's piece, about some of his mailbag, et cetera, get his take on all of this. I look forward to doing that. Luka Doncic, if you didn't know who he was, and I'm anticipating if you're listening to KXNO and our show, you're pretty aware that Luka Doncic is... Trent, that was unbelievable. Bob Ryan, you know, I guess this is a guy I wish we could have on the show.
Yeah.
He's so knowledgeable. He was the only reporter covering the Dream Team from start to finish. Let me get his tweet from over the weekend, from yesterday. mentions, and I'm paraphrasing, I've watched the best players in the NBA over the last 60 years, which is true.
No doubt.
Luka Doncic takes my breath away, is what Bob Ryan tweeted. And this guy is an encyclopedia when it comes to the NBA and when it comes to basketball. Wouldn't you agree?
There's no doubt.
60 Celtics he covered.
He knows the game as well as anybody. He covers the game in that old school way, and he's seen everybody, going back to Bill Russell and all the way to today. Watching that performance yesterday, I watched a lot of it, a lot more than I certainly anticipated coming in. It's a series that I think excited me the most coming into it. Now, we haven't seen a whole lot of Porzingis. He had the ejection. He had what's happened with him being banged up. Mm-hmm. But I've never watched Luka Doncic at this level. I've watched pieces. I've watched a half quarter here, you know, a quarter there. But that's about it. But watching him now during these playoff series for as much as I have, breathtaking is a perfect perfect word
for it.
Did
you see him on one leg hopping from the court back to the locker room on
when he turned his ankle Friday night?
Friday night, yeah. And he didn't put any weight on it. He hopped the entire way, didn't have anybody carrying him off. He just hopped on one leg. And there's no way he's going to be able to play. And Trent, I turned it on early. He was playing. They were down. They were getting blown out.
Yeah, it was 15 at one point,
I think. Oh, it was more than that. It was in the 20s when I was watching it. So I went back to the Cubs and the White Sox. And by the way, I backed the right team in Chicago as far as who I thought the best team in Chicago was going to be. The answer is the White Sox. We'll get into them later on. The Cubs did find a way to salvage a game from that series. But boy, this White Sox team. If I'm a Twins fan, and I know you are, that's the team that I would
still be the most concerned with?
I think so. I mean, Cleveland, Minnesota, they got a 3-game set coming up?
Yeah, yeah.
Starting tonight at 6:10. So that'll be appointment TV. But I think this White Sox team, the way they hit the baseball, and you've said it the entire time, defensively, and there was a defensive lapse in that game. But Cease, of all people, worked his way out of it. Trent, he was really good yesterday.
He was.
He was really good
yesterday. As good as I've maybe ever seen him.
And Giolito didn't pitch in the series. Prior to the Cubs, I think they were in Detroit. He struck out 9. Dallas Keuchel's Dallas Keuchel.
He's been better than I thought, too.
Yeah, he's good.
I thought not just was he on the downside, he was, maybe you plug him in as a best-case scenario, 3. Probably a 4. Mm-hmm. He's still better than that.
Yep, he is.
He's been really, really good for them. Cease has the stuff. I mean, the guy pumps it up there consistently 98.
Oh, for sure.
The arm is there, but is it the Kyle Farnsworth just piss straight and there's no movement to it?
Well, there was movement yesterday.
Yes, there was.
It was as well as I've seen him pitch, Trent.
How concerned are you with this Cubs offense?
You have to be.
I mean,
it's anemic.
We came in last Monday and, all right, rough weekend against the Brewers. But boy, another week into this. We're talking going on 2 weeks where this offense has been
terrible.
Pathetic. Absolutely terrible. The good news
is it's the biggest names.
They're 17-10. They're fine.
They're going to get in,
but
for sure.
Does this team going to make a run with an offense that has struggled, a bullpen, though better than I think we thought coming into the year, still has holes in it?
Kimbrel yesterday, Trent, they came in and pitched the 8th inning.
Yes, he did.
Struck out the first two guys.
Mm-hmm.
And they started walking everybody. He walked the next two, and David Ross comes and yanks him out of the game.
And it wasn't like he was just barely missing either. There were some of those
breaking
pitches
balls,
that were.
Breaking balls, just come on.
Yeah.
It wasn't working for him yesterday. I hate when you get ahead 0-2 and you start trying to
nibble.
Just take him. Take him out.
Blast
you, Darvish, is that way. Boy, Darvish was good yesterday.
Yes,
he was. He's the ace of that staff, no doubt about it.
He's your game one starter.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know what the Cubs are going to do. I don't know if there's a move that they can make. Albert Almora is reduced to a defensive replacement in the 9th inning. Chris Bryant's back on the IL. Javier Baez can't hit a lick, although he seemed maybe, we'll see, maybe came around a little bit. That's obviously, Cubs fans are hoping that that's the start of something. Your best player's been Ian Happ. Best player's been Ian Happ. David Bodie yesterday, boy, didn't it just seem that when that foul ball, two outs, I can't remember who was at the plate, but he fouled a ball off, and it was in fair territory. It was close.
Mm-hmm.
So Bodie goes over to the Cubs dugout. He's getting help from his teammates. I'm assuming they're talking to him. And he tripped. He tripped. I think his foot hit the little cement there, that there's a little overhang, if you will, if that's what you call it. But he wasn't able to make the play, and you gave the guy in the batter's box new life. I thought, well, I've seen this movie before.
Yeah, when Moncada was coming up with two on, it felt like...
It was Moncada, wasn't it?
Yeah, it felt like here comes a gapper.
Yep.
And it's going to be White Sox taking the lead, and the frustrations were going to continue. It wasn't a must win, but another one of those moments.
Well, those moments you need to salvage one of the series.
You had to stop the bleeding in some fashion, but this White Sox team, what they did to Lester Friday night...
Yep.
I was golfing with a couple of White Sox fans Sean and Emery, and Emery pull out the phone and he'd get the home run call, and he was incredibly excited about it.
Which of the two is more passionate?
Oh, it's Sean.
Is it?
Yeah, it's Sean in a big way. Yeah. I mean, he grew up in
He grew up surrounded
by the Cubs fans and had to deal with that in a day in, day out basis. I'm sure you probably saw this. I think it was on Twitter. The starting lineups for the first game.
Did see that, yeah.
That was a fun blast from the past. And then
98, was it? 97? 97? In that era.
Yeah. And a fun going down memory lane with some of those players. And you got Ozzie Guillen batting second for the White Sox and on and on and on. It was cool looking back upon that, which is incredible to think about. It's been such... Interleague play has been such a big part of our baseball lives now for a quarter of a century.
Yeah.
But...
So is the wild card.
Thinking back that these teams never played and the old-timers, are there people out there that still hate interleague play?
No.
I mean, they got to be so few.
Right, how can you? I mean, that's the hill you pick to die on, and sooner or later you got to, just to take your medicine and walk. It's not changing, it's not going anywhere.
Right, yeah.
I mean, it's I don't know, does it diminish the World Series? Yeah, it does. Does it diminish the All-Star game? Okay. I mean, when I was a kid, that was cool. Because the American League and the National League, you'd see them at the All-Star game, and then you'd see them in the World Series. So there was always that aspect of stuff. But no, it's great.
Yeah. We get a good matchup, it doesn't matter. And if we get Yankees-Dodgers in the World Series this year, and, well, of course not this season, but in a different season if they played in the regular season, it's not going to taint it for me.
No, absolutely not.
It's not going to
taint it. You know what it's going to do? It's going to give you something to talk about. Well, when these two teams got together in July,
if we get Twins-White Sox, Twins-Cubs, or we get Cubs-White Sox in the World Series, is it going to be tainted?
No.
Because they happen to play during the regular season?
Hell no.
Oh, how nuts would that be?
It would be. It'd be off the charts. Anyways, yeah, it was a fun weekend of sports. Hockey was good. I didn't see a lick of golf. Dustin Johnson
watched
ran away
a little bit. Friday, as we were going off the air, it was Scheffler was trending towards his 59, which he ultimately got, and then the start of Dustin Johnson on Friday
was unbelievable.
He's 6 under through four,
right?
Two eagles, two birdies, and went out and shot a 60 that day. But it just cleared.
Yeah,
he
fell apart. Trent shot 60.
So I flipped it on just for a moment yesterday, and as I did, there's a caddy laying in the middle of the fairway.
I heard about this. Tell me what happened.
Scotty Scheffler and they're cutting to it. His caddy is just laying there. He's got his bib on, and so I can see the back. Couldn't really hear what they were saying, how they were describing it, and so get on Twitter. He just had a cramped up calf. That's all it was.
Oh.
But they had to bring out the stretcher. They had EMTs there. It was a big deal, and I didn't even stay long enough with it to see who the guy was that took over, but apparently it was one of the tour pros or the PGA pros that work at that course that then took over.
Oh, grabbed his bag. Okay.
That was kind of the biggest thing I wondered. Does Scheffler have to carry his own bag now? Does he have to go that direction? Or, and this is what happened,
you know what?
He's brought somebody out of the clubhouse, and here's your caddy.
I don't think I've ever seen it before. I wouldn't have been able to help you.
No, not at all.
I watched very little of the Indy 500. Here's my thing on the Indy 500, and I'm not a car race guy. Don't you have to find a way to ultimately finish the biggest race of the season
under green?
Yeah. Then let him sort it out on the track?
Well, it's not the Indy 500 and 2.5. It's the Indy 500.
But when you get to that point, shouldn't you have, there'd be a little...
Tiebreaker, overtime.
Something.
Yeah.
You finish under caution, the guys line up, and they go slow for a couple more laps. And ultimately, there's no drama whatsoever at the end of a race?
No, I'm with you there. Now, neither of us are big race heads, and maybe people could tell us why we're wrong on it. But for, just the everyday, I flip on the Indy 500 Memorial Day weekend every year. I tell you, that's what my grandpa always told me. That's when you wax your car for the year. And so you go out, you listen to the race on the radio, and you come in and watch the last 50 races inside. So it's something that I just kind of took with me, but...
So, obviously didn't happen this year. What's the reasoning that you can't add an extra couple of laps? Is it because, I'm just spitballing here. I have no idea.
You're all running the same race. Somebody pits earlier because they're thinking they're only going 500.
Is your teammate far back and well beaten, and your guy's in second place? Do you purposely wreck? I don't know.
Yeah.
To add a couple of laps. I mean, I just finish under caution. Talk about no drama whatsoever.
And it was so weird when I did flip it on a couple of times.
With no fans?
Not going to ABC to see it.
That's right. I went there. That great point, Trent.
Because that's been a part of my lifetime.
Forever.
Yeah. That goes back to what, NBC the 60s?
Maybe even, I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's when they had started getting the rights was back in the 60s and watching it on NBC and just the graphics being different for the Indy 500. It's a part of my growing up, you know, my childhood that has also changed here. But then when they had those shots and you see the huge, huge amount of stands there and nobody in them.
When you went to Indianapolis, you've driven to Indianapolis a number of times, right? The one time, I'm positive, and it was really dark outside. Somehow, I went on the backside of the track. There's
really?
Yes.
I've never been, at least that I, when we've been to Indianapolis, I've never remembered driving by the track.
Headed downtown Indy. Now, I don't know if my GPS might have taken, or I might have taken a bad turn or wrong turn, but I was right outside the track headed to downtown. I don't know, here or there. Anyways, just you figure something out. That's a horrible way to end the biggest race of your season, doing so under caution. Come on.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, but there's probably something that we're missing.
I guess so. The NHL was good.
You'll have to fill me in. Didn't watch a minute on the ice this weekend.
Really? Oh, no. This Boston-Tampa series is going to be a classic. I think the one that starts tonight, Islanders-Philly's got a chance to be nasty.
Uh-huh.
Two teams in the same division. The Las Vegas is just—it's a procession to the Western Conference Final against, I think, Colorado. Colorado got beat, which surprised me because they looked unbeatable.
Dallas now? What they did to the Blues, and now up to a 1-0 lead. Yeah. I'll be dipping in a little bit more. And do we get another full day of NBA?
Yes, we do today. I'm pretty sure.
Just going to continue
starting at 12:30, I think, or 12.
Yeah, 12:30. There it is. Bucks Magic to get things going there. Afternoon Rockets Thunder at 3:00. 5:30 Pacers Heat. And the nightcap back to the Lakers and Blazers. Lakers flexing their muscle just a little
bit. I think they
now.
Are. Yeah, I'm wrong. I was wrong on the Portland thing. It was cheap speed. You know, got off on the right foot. And then,
well, if you had him in game one, you're in good shape.
Absolutely.
Took that money line.
Scott Dockerman will join us next. Do you have the keywords? I don't. Somebody swung with run off with the keywords.
Oh, no. I do not hear, and I don't see him. So we'll do that when we get back.
Okay. I should have probably looked before the show started. I don't have the keywords. I apologize. Be listening for that. Hopefully we'll find them during this five-minute timeout. We've got Scott Dockerman coming up. Mitch Holtis on the Kansas City Chiefs at 10:50. Miller and Condon till noon. Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO 106.
Surface cleaner.
Ken Miller, Trent Condon, Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO.
And now on 106.3 FM.
Welcome back, Miller and Condon. Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO, 106.3 FM. KXNO and iHeart would like to help you with your bills. Text the keyword HOPE to 200-200. Right now, that's your chance to win $1,000. That's HOPE to 200-200.
You'll get a confirmation text and info. Standard data and message rates apply in this nationwide contest.
All right, HOPE is this hour's keyword. Scott Dockerman joins the program as we go inside the Hawks in the Big Ten. Doc, Trent, and Ken, thanks for coming on. Scott Dockerman, how are you?
I'm doing well. How about you guys?
Doing fine, Doc. You know what I want to get into is, and maybe you don't know the answer to this, when Kevin Warren was hired, who was the committee that hired him? Was there an athletic director on the committee? Were these presidents? Who ultimately gave the thumbs up to Kevin Warren is going to be the conference's next commission? I'm sure Delaney, or maybe not, had a say in his successor. Who was in the room, Doc? Do you know?
Threw me for a loop here. I guess I know that the president ultimately had to decide on his fate. I know that there were a few people internally at the Big Ten office, but I'm not sure. I imagine one of the one of the search committee members was Morton Shapiro with Northwestern, the president there. But I'm not. I can't recall everybody who was on that committee. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm just curious because, you know, I'm sure you saw Sam McCowan's Omaha.com's piece, Adam Rittenberg, you guys at The Athletic have been all over trying to decipher what went on. And, you know, there's so much, I think, probably disinformation or some rumors out there. Some may be true. We don't know. Just trying to get to the bottom of ultimately how all of this came down. And it sounds like the athletic directors were unanimous. They all wanted to play. The medical people didn't talk to the athletic directors. They maybe didn't talk to the presidents. There were three different groups that Kevin Warren was talking to. And ultimately, he had... whose ear? I mean, which of the presidents do you think had the most clout that came forward and said, no, this isn't a good idea, and Kevin, this is the message I want you to relay? Because we know it wasn't an athletic director. Doc, we just need more clarity. What have you been able to find out?
Oh, I think I've been able to find out a lot. It's a confusing situation, and it's just been, you know, for their lack of transparency, it's made it more difficult to try to decipher who did what, when, and where. You know, that what is the truth is that they operated in silos, and that never works well, especially on a decision this big, where you have the coaches are clearly on one side, and the athletic directors are aligned with the coaches. And then on the other side, you have the presidents who are responsible for more than just the sports aspect of things. And Kevin Warren is supposed to represent everybody. And, you know, kind of think of him almost as Roger Goodell, mm-hmm. that he's supposed to, and in this case, it's like he's representing the owners, but not necessarily the players. And that's the case here. The presidents and the chancellors, we don't know which one said, yes, we should play, and which one said, no, they should not play. I feel pretty secure in saying, and I do know that Iowa President Bruce Harreld wanted to play, and it sounds like Nebraska President, no. or Chancellor, I'm sorry, Ronnie Green said he wanted to play. The rest, I mean, some have medical backgrounds. What was discussed? How did they come to that conclusion? Was there a vote? What was the vote? I mean, all those questions, they're just not letting out. And I think it's adding to more confusion, frustration, and anger and resentment. And that's where we've never seen the Big Ten at this level before. The only other issue that was comparable to this was that tiebreaker back in 1973 between Ohio State and Michigan. That was clearly a football decision.
Yeah, they made a documentary about that one, and certainly one of the most famous. You know, it's crazy, Doc, as you go through this, and Kevin Warren, he's known right now as the guy that canceled football, and it's going to be incredibly difficult for him to recover from that, at least in public sentiment. What about the athletic directors? It sounds like a whole lot of frustration in those AD offices that they didn't have the say that they thought they were going to say. Who ultimately could remove Kevin Warren as commissioner if it would come to that?
His board of directors. They're the ones who could decide his fate. You know, I don't know, considering they really just hired him a year ago. He just started 11 months ago and became the guy, you know, 8.5 months ago. So I don't know that they would, you know, do, especially if they came to a consensus, I don't think they would remove him right now. But I think there's an incredible amount of frustration that, you know, I hate to keep bringing up Jim Delaney or something, but it never would have gotten to this point with Jim Delaney. I mean, you know, and it's an incredibly difficult situation that Jim could have predicted, obviously, when he got in. But, you know, he was a consensus builder. He had, even when he had the ability to, he knew that the room wasn't in agreement, he could nudge people in certain directions and build that kind of consensus and come to the conclusion that needed to happen. And that's just not the case here. You know, and I'm not purely speculating here, which is what most people do in this situation, but had Jim Delaney still been in charge, I don't think that they canceled the season out right there because there was just too much uncertainty. I think maybe he would have thought that was the ultimate conclusion. I think he probably would have pushed back the season, worked on whether it's the university presidents or the ADs to show why it wasn't the case, and then been completely transparent as to the cancellation reasons after the fact. None of that happened here with Kevin Warren. And he comes across as Roger Goodell to me, and mm-hmm. Roger Goodell has kind of been all authoritative and really provided no answers over the years. And you just can't do that in college athletics. This is not the pros. And I think Kevin Warren, his reputation is taking a hit, and he'll never recover from that. Yeah. He might be able to do a million things, but as Trent mentioned, he's the man who canceled football.
Yeah, you're right. You're both right when it comes to that. Doc, and this was part of your mailbag as well, and it was the mailbag was full this week, and I'm assuming you didn't have to solicit too many times for questions, especially this week, right? The question that got my attention, because we heard about it leading up, is there a chance they can play? Well, hold on a second. These five schools want to play. If they can get one more, can these six schools really go rogue and play this fall, and what does that do to their standing in the conference? Doc, how close did that get? Were you able to figure that out? Did you get any clarity on, was that a legit rumor that was out there that there were going to be some schools, maybe not break away from the conference, but break away from the thought that they're going to play in the winter/spring and they're going to cobble together a 16 league this fall? Was there anything to that?
No. Not that I'm aware of. I mean, I went through enough people, and there was just nothing that told me this was legitimate. There may have been somebody from an administrator from one school who might have floated that idea, maybe even threw it out there as a trial balloon, and went to a person that's thrown out some conspiracy theories in the past, and just to see what it happened. But there was really nothing to it, and it took off like wildfire. I mean, I had people on Twitter saying, aren't you going to comment about this proposal? I'm like, I can't verify that it's true, and I'm not going to. And so there was no truth to that, because what are the other schools going to do? If there are six schools playing in the fall, the other eight either have to play or not play. And this is classified as a postponement. I know that there was, there were Nebraska and Ohio State were looking to play no matter what. And they couldn't get very far because of the league situation. So that's the truth there. That is true. But beyond that, there might have been some speculation that turned into some sort of rumor, but there was really no truth into what was thrown out there.
We've heard about the bubble concept for football, going to these dome stadiums. Basketball continues to be a completely different conversation, what they're going to do. Non-conference games, is it conference only? Is a bubble concept going to work on that front? So much out there. What are you hearing when we're actually going to see these Big Ten and these Iowa athletes play? What's your anticipation of what this is going to look like, if it is going to happen at all?
Are you talking basketball or football?
Either. Both.
Oh, either? Okay. There are some ideas that have been discussed regarding football, but part of the problem with the league office right now is there's no real plan. And until they until they unveil one, we're all going to be speculating. I know, Ryan Day has been really emphatic about playing in the winter.
Yep.
Jeff Rom has pushed it back a little bit to spring. If I was to say what I think will end up happening with football is sometime in either December or very early January is when they'll start conducting their training camp. And it makes sense, because the remaining students will be off campus. They can have like a true workout at that point for several weeks. I think that's probably the case that'll happen. How long does it last? That's hard to say. I think they need to do whatever they do. They need to make sure they have the full 2021 season in mind, because that's important too. As far as basketball goes, Fran McCaffrey a couple weeks ago started talking about bubbles, and I think that's probably as legitimate as anything, because you can, for teams that have, 13 scholarship players and a couple of walk-ons, you could do some good things in a market. I threw out Des Moines previously, and I think there are several ones that could have something like that. Beyond January 1st, home and home and stuff at the Big Ten, I don't really know. Everything's so uncertain, it's hard to predict. But I do believe, I think basketball will be easier to pull off than football, but they have to have football. I mean, we just saw it last week, what happened on Friday with Iowa's four sports. Yeah. It's going to be, this is a bloodletting that will never let up. And if you don't have football, it's going to be hard to have an athletic department in 3 to 4 years.
Indeed. Doc, I know that there's still some people out there holding out that somehow legal minds are going to get involved. And I go over to Nebraska that apparently there's a deadline of noon for Nebraska parents who have hired an attorney by the name of Mike Flood, that if he doesn't get the transcripts, the audio of the calls, that he's going to file a federal lawsuit and hope for an injunction allowing the kids to get back on the field. I think this is probably, well, this, look, it's a Hail Mary for sure, but this is the last, I would think, bastion of hope to, as far as changing of the minds in the Big Ten offices is that somehow lawyers are going to get involved and save this at the last minute. What do you know about this situation in Nebraska, if anything, Doc, about this Mike Flood guy that is going to file a lawsuit, a federal lawsuit, on behalf of the Nebraska parents if he doesn't get clarity by noon? And here we are 20 minutes before the hour of 11, and he's got nothing to this point.
The Big Ten will go to court. They're not going to provide that kind of information. They've, in the past, in certain Freedom of Information Acts, when I filed it with Iowa to get information from the Big Ten, whether that's about revenues or TV contracts or whatever, they've threatened. They've said, no, we're not going to do it. You go ahead and sue us if you want to. And so they will in this situation. They have enough authority and clout, and I guarantee the school presidents are not going to go along with this. So how much will they get? What will they get? I don't know. But I do think what it does is it shed light that this whole process was not transparent. It was arrogant. And the more that the Big Ten continues to not be transparent, the more issues they're going to have. And they've never had these issues before. This has happened in just the last couple of weeks. And so they better come through. I mean, again, you know, this is not the NFL. He is not Roger Goodell.
Right.
I mean, this is Big Ten that's involved young people, athletes, students. They're not even professionals. They're not getting paid for their services. So you better come through. And Big Ten is not in any way, shape, or form. And they just continue to anger people along the way.
You know what, Doc? I'm starting to put two and two together here. It certainly seems Gary Barta and Bruce Harreld are on the same page. What's the guy's name at Nebraska? Green, the chancellor over there? Yep. So Green and Moose are on the same page. But it sounds as though there's some athletic directors in the Big Ten footprint that really don't know what their president or their chancellor is thinking as they go through this thing. Because somebody in the president's, one of the presidents or a couple of the president's voices are seemingly resonate louder when it comes to these decisions. And it seems like there's some athletic directors that are completely in the dark as to what happened.
Yeah, and that's really unfortunate and really difficult. I mean, I think you look at, you know, which athletic directors carry the most swag when they walk in the room. I mean, Gene Smith's at or near the top of the list.
Alvarez?
And he didn't get it. Yeah, Alvarez does, of course, too. And they, you know, now Barry immediately kind of conceded.
Yep.
And there isn't much of an outrage from Wisconsin. A few players have spoken out, but not really the parents, certainly not like at Iowa. But Gene Smith was furious with this decision, and you read his response to this, and Kevin Warren's name was not mentioned. Mm-hmm. And I think that shows that he doesn't have, if he may have the respect, but he doesn't have they don't look up to him as some sort of moral authority right now. And that's a problem for any league, and certainly the Big Ten, which is, again, Jim Delaney, 30 years, never once had that issue, ever. And now they're at a point where it's not about canceling football. That's something that everybody thought was a 50-50 measure to begin with. It's about the method, what happened afterwards, the communication that happened before the cancellation that has everybody up in arms. And we're still not getting any kind of clarity on those details.
Scott Dockerman from The Athletic. Doc, thank you. Wish we would. Hope we do, but not holding my breath. Appreciate it, Doc.
Thanks so much, guys.
Good to talk to you. Scott Dockerman, apologies for the phone connection. A little salty, a little difficult there from time to time. Seems like it's worse when he starts answering.
Yeah, well, I don't know what that is.
Cell phones. Can't do anything about it. Who has a landline anymore?
Nobody.
Right? Very few. We will take a timeout. It's a quarter before the hour of 11 o'clock. Mitch Holtis is standing by. We will head to Kansas City, get the latest on the Chiefs. They had 2,000 fans in attendance for a practice. I think, were they the first NFL team, first one I've heard of, that actually practiced in front of fans?
Oh, really? I didn't see
that.
I think
they were.
Yeah.
But anyways, we'll find out more from Mitch Holtis when he joins us. After this timeout in the 11 o'clock hour, we're going to talk some baseball. Scott Miller, Bleacher Report. He's their national Major League Baseball writer. Look forward to speaking with Scott. And then Pete Mundo from Heartland College Sports on the Big 12. Miller and Condon till noon. Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO 106. All right, welcome back. Miller and Condon, 10 minutes before the hour 11, right on time. Seldom happens to us, Trent Condon.
Yeah, how about
we're
that?
We're starting a week off on the right foot. Let's get Mitch Holtis. He's the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Papa John sponsors. Mitch, Trent, Ken, thanks for coming on. How are you, sir?
Well, really good. It was a good weekend. We had fans in Arrowhead. We had a great practice on Sunday and just completed practice today. This is the grind, man. This is this has been 6 days in a row and five in pads.
Wow.
But I would say overall, it's generally a good feeling. And Saturday was, I was so curious how it would go. And overall, I think it went very well.
That's outstanding. Yeah, the 17 days away, right, I believe, from opening night. Mitch, I want to touch on that, but I don't want to run out of a clock here before I get this out. I think one of the bigger stories this weekend from the NFL was the 77 false positives. And can you imagine, Mitch Holtis, if this was Friday before game week, this would have completely thrown the week one into total havoc. You can't have that.
No, it can't. And, you know, we trust science.
Right.
And I trust science, and you guys
do
too.
Yep.
But science is not an absolute, never has been. And I know probably scientists and folks in the medical community are listening, but if science was an end-all, be-all, hey, it's an all, it's a postulate, and this coronavirus would never have got into our borders and absolutely paralyzed us basically for 5 months. So this is where we have to even test science as much as we do anything else, and we have got to challenge science as much as anything else. And those in the medical community and the testing community, it's a very difficult time, but we've got to get it right. I mean, you're right. You're dead on. Prior to that report, on Saturday, I was in a discussion from social distance with people who know that only five people in the NFL over the span of when camps had started, almost 3,000 people, there were five positive tests. Five.
Wow.
In 3,000. Now, then this came out of the 77 false positives. You're going, well, this would completely dictate that week of action. Mm-hmm. Well, this has nothing to do with spreading the coronavirus. This has everything to do with the testing that we're using and the science that's involved. So it's a whole kind of ancillary discussion that's very important.
It is. And, boy, just the way that reading reports from media people that were making their way in, got into the parking lot. Nope, sorry, got turned away at the door. And there was a lot of those stories out there yesterday as the NFL was trying to figure out in the morning exactly what was happening here. It's the new reality. You have to be able to adjust. And you had your first opportunity to make some adjustments as you were up in the booth on Saturday. Take us through your day, Mitch, how it went in your dry run through what a broadcast is going to look like.
Or sound like.
Well, I was limited. Yeah, well, I was limited because I wanted to see it externally first. I wanted to see what this looked like. I mean, the parking lot was totally reconfigured.
Mm.
I had to enter a maze of going through. I have an app that I have to complete before then I get to the screening. And then the screening, they take your temperature and you go in. Now, I'm not in a tier one, two, or three yet, so I'm not in the exhaustive testing. So I was limited to where I could go, Trent. But I was looking from afar as how all this is working. And then when I tweeted out, home again, right? I was home when I was up in the booth, but I was looking around the stadium. It was interesting. I mean, there's little pods of four people that are within a section that is their section. Like, they're not going to move from side to side or around the horn. But what was awesome was it seemed like, and there was Mike Florio put out that people weren't wearing masks, because I think generally people were getting a sip or taste and then keep not putting their masks back, whatever, right? But there were people like the Florios looking for, well, see, Miller's not wearing his mask.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, it was a huge success, and it energized everybody in the stadium. It was almost cathartic that people were wearing masks, following protocol. It wasn't at the leg not wearing masks, and you know, you're socially distanced. And the fact that you could pull this off. The state of Iowa is actually one of my heroes and heroines here. because of what they pulled off this summer with baseball and softball. They did it.
Yep.
And it wasn't there wasn't outbreaks. And so the Chiefs did this Saturday, and I haven't heard from an outbreak since then. So it was, I actually thought it was really refreshing, Trent, to see this much work go into it, but it seemed to pay off.
Well, how did the quarterback look as the 2,000 or so people got their first glimpse of the franchise and the face of the league on Saturday at Arrowhead Stadium?
2,000 people in a 74,000-seat stadium looks somewhat comical, right? But it was kind of loud. And particularly when they did the quarterback challenge, when they're working on special teams and the quarterbacks all go over and do their own Iowa State Fair competition of, you know, there's stuff out on Twitter that we put out and on Facebook. You can watch it. It's funny. But I'm telling you, Mahomes gets going. The team got going. Being on the Arrowhead Stadium field, and there was this two-way energy, just like any game at Arrowhead. The fans feed off the players feed off the fans.
With having the fans there, I think it kind of gave you another energy. Just being out there, the fans cheering, you getting to see them. I mean, the passion that they have in Chiefs Kingdom is unmatched. And so it was awesome to be out there and be a part of that. I mean, it really did got me going. You can see me getting hyped up and Chris Jones running out there hyping up the crowd and everything like that. And another part was, I mean, I think there was only 2,000 people there, but it was loud. And I was pleasantly surprised by that.
Here's the thing, even at 16, now they're going to be 5,000 this weekend. The next step is next Saturday, and that will be 5,000 season ticket members permitted to enter, and taking all the procedures from last week and going up a step, it'll also be the dropping of the banner. Like, it's going to be a real historic day. The Super Bowl 54 championship banner is going to be dropped. So just taking it up a little more. But here's what I did feel, you guys. 16,000 against the Texans won't feel like it's a, you know, in between acts of a play. It's going to feel like a football game in that place.
Here, here. Absolutely. Well, I feel like a pizza tonight, Mitch. Any ideas?
Well, I know where we go, Papa John's. And they've been great in Iowa, the Donaldsons. And throughout the 5 months of this pandemic protocol, they've gone up and beyond. They're like the Chiefs. They go above and beyond in making sure everything is safe and good. Of course, their product's great. But I'm going to pivot here. We're going to start talking here in the this week about what they do with JDRF and Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. They're super involved in that, locked in. And it's not just selling pizza for them. It's helping the folks in the state of Iowa that need it the most. It's why I love the Donaldsons and their managers throughout the state.
Mitch Holt is the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Mitch, we will speak with you at this time tomorrow. Thank you. Appreciate it as always.
We'll talk to you tomorrow, guys.
All right, take care. Mitch Holt is the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. 2,000 people in attendance, 5,000 they're ratcheting it up to this weekend. Odd that they're dropping the banner. Wouldn't you do that on opening night?
That's what you would think. Maybe this is just a preliminary kind of run-through, see how it's going to work, get a little something extra for the people that will normally be hanging out in St. Joe, taking days off of work and going down there.
Throw them a bone a little bit.
Yeah, at least give them a little something because it has been an off season like we've never seen before.
What do you think secondary market's going to be like for tickets across the league?
I think it's going to be huge. Yeah. I had a argument with a buddy about this where he believes that there's going to be so many people that don't want to go that secondary market, but with limited capacity.
Right.
Now, what parameters are going to be put in by the Chiefs, by Iowa State.
As far as reselling your tickets?
Right. Is it going to be, if we find that you've sold these tickets, ... Still haven't heard anything on that front. Something to think about, though.
All right, hour number two coming up. We're about 15 after, somewhere around there. We'll talk to Scott Miller, Pete Mundo on the Big 12. Miller and Condon with you until noon. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM.